Howdy, folks. Today, the lesson you are going to hear is from a live recording of a sermon preached among the saints out here in El Paso, Texas. I hope you enjoy. Here we go.
So if you want to open up your Bibles to Psalm 28, we're going to be looking at one point in time here, a psalm that's a little bit lengthier, and it's going to kind of be the bulk of our lesson today. But we're going to talk about a question: who is wise and will observe these things? We live in a pretty unobservant world where people tend not to recognize what you would think is obvious, and that's not really a new problem. People tend to miss the obvious, especially when they have ideas already in their minds. Well, one of the things that people don't do are simple, like look up, look around. How do you think all these things came to be? In Psalm 28, we learn that the wicked do not consider the works of the Lord. The first five verses says, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands, render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up." There's a blindness. In the New Testament, it's talking about the Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 19. This blindness where it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles that walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance within them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness." There's this blindness, and it's a choice. I don't want to see because I don't want to have to deal with the consequences of the reality. I want to ignore. It's in the sight of our Lord. People don't want to see him. It's in things that happen in the world that people don't want to see. They just want to put their heads down and walk through life as though they're in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood and everything is a life of make-believe. And they want to generate their own reality. You'll hear it when people say, "Well, my Jesus," or "my God." You don't get to do that because Jesus has his own identity. And our Father has his own identity. And man does not get to tell God what his identity is. But if you want to be blind and you don't want to see, you just don't look. In other words, you're not a seeker. And the book of Psalm, chapter 119, 155, says, "Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes." See, we see in the scriptures promises like "seek and you shall find" in Matthew 7, 7. And we know that there's a time limit on that. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Okay, well, what if those who are out there just don't want to seek? None of that matters. They don't want to see it. They're not looking for it. They don't care about it. They don't want to know. Now, on the other hand, people that are wise and are seeking want to know. And not only want to know, but want to know more, want to grow and gain more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning." A few chapters later, Proverbs 15 and verse 14 says, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness." So there has to be a desire to know, a seeking, a want to have understanding, not just to see something and pass by it and forget what you saw and understood or and not understand, but to want to understand, to want to see, to want to learn. A couple of chapters later, a few chapters later in Proverbs 18 and verse 15, it says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So as we look at the psalm we're going to look at today, and I'm not going to break it down an awful lot. The way this lesson came about is I was just thinking about all the unobservant people in the world. And I was thinking through the Bible about seeking and everything else. And I was looking at a few verses in Psalm 107. And then I was thinking, well, I'll take this text out of Psalm 107. And I was like, okay, well, no, I need to add. And before you know it, I was at the whole Psalm. And I thought, well, if I'm going to teach this whole Psalm and break it down, that's going to be a rather lengthy lesson. And I know you're not opposed to lengthy lessons, but we did just have an hour and a half Bible class. And we're going to have another hour Bible class here in a little bit. So I didn't want to push my luck too far. But I just couldn't figure out how to take this psalm outside of its whole context and present it. And then I just thought, you know, the beauty about the Word of God, and it's why I was commenting when I got up here about Jeff's prayer. We have the readily available Word of God. And this is one of the things that people are unobservant about. How great the scriptures are, and how, you know, yes, there are those that might read the scriptures and not understand them, and they need somebody to teach them, but you're not those people. You have a base knowledge, understanding of things, so that when you look at the scriptures, you know the context, the greater context, and you can see it. And that makes the Word of God even more useful to you than anybody else in the world. So I want you to hear Psalm 107. Of course, you're welcome to read along. It's 43 verses. I can't remember the last time I've read 43 verses consecutively in a lesson. But here it is. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquity, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them. He delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord, His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and a dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, for they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant the vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffer not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression and affliction and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Who is wise and will observe these things? Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So this psalm kind of gives you a generic of a lot of what you see in the Old Testament. How God delivered, how God destroyed, how he made fruitful lands into nothing. Think, you know, you can't, the book of Job just screams at you when you think about men that cry in the sea to the Lord. It's like, you know, they're not atheists anymore. They all of a sudden have conviction towards God. And when you think about how this psalm just talked about over and over again about the goodness of God. Here we are, we live in the desert, and it hasn't rained for a while. And it'd be good to get some rain. But there are rivers to the north and lakes to the north. And even out here in the desert, there's water that flows to the south. Man can't do it, because when man decides to change the course of rivers and everything else, it ends up in modern day North Carolina. When man decides to build cities near water, it ends up like New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. By the way, I told Katrina I'm no longer afraid of her. There's another woman that has caused more destruction. When we look at just the obvious things, and this psalm requires you to know a little bit about the Old Testament. I'm not going to even try to teach it. I'm teaching an audience that gets it. Maybe those that would listen online, maybe they'll get curious and look. But God did all these things, and man did not observe the goodness of God. They just didn't take the time to learn the lessons. They didn't step back and say, let's observe and learn from these things. God is good. Psalm 118 and verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Where would man be without the mercy of God? And that psalm ends. Psalm 118 is 29 verses. Verse 1 says that. Verse 29 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Those of old, like this psalm draws the physical out. Being delivered and even God's destruction in the physical. Well, we now live in the time where we're thankful for the spiritual, where God's hand is not direct upon the conditions of this earth and upon man. Though he has left fruitful seasons, Acts 14, 17, etc., he's not as direct as he was in the Old Testament. So we think on the spiritual side, Colossians 1, 12 through 14 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, and in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It takes for us to think, to acknowledge, hey, I have deliverance. In that psalm, it was physical. Now it's the spiritual. But you got to be observant. You got to take the... Why here in just a little while, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. What are we reminded of? His death. We're reminded that he gave his body as a sacrifice, that he shed his blood for the remission of our sins. We're reminded of that. Why? Because we need to be observant to truly be thankful, to have an appreciation, to have an understanding. We've got to look forward. What does he save us from? Some people just focus on sin. Okay, but sin wouldn't matter if there wasn't a day to account for those sins. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10, what are we being saved from. You know, there's a goodness and a severity of God. And there is plenty in the Bible about the severity of God, but the judgment day is going to reveal the worst of it all. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What's he delivered? He delivers us from God's wrath. But thankfulness doesn't take place when people forget about the goodness of God. I want to draw your attention to Ezekiel chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 3 through 13. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 3 through 13. It says, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abomination of their fathers, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up my hand under the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. And the day that I lifted up my hand unto them, to bring forth them out of the land of Egypt, into the land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then said unto them, Cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me, and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, and whose sight I made myself known unto them, and bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore, I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my statutes, answered them my judgment, which if a man do, he shall live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes. They despised my judgment, which if a man do, he shall live in them. And my Sabbath they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. So look, they didn't remember. Look back at what God's done for us. And then when we rebelled, what he's done against us. But they don't remember. In the same generation, they go from blessing to cursing. Because they don't. How are you going to be thankful to God when your memory is that short? When once things get good, you don't care anymore. Jeremiah 18 and verse 15. Jeremiah the prophet, because my people have forgotten me, says this of God. Because my people have forgotten me. Did you hear that? Because my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in the ways from the ancient past, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. It wasn't that they didn't know the name of God. It wasn't that they didn't know God existed. They forgot him in the sense of what we looked at in Ezekiel chapter 20. In the sense of Psalm 107, they didn't consider, they didn't observe. Their forgetfulness wasn't an utter empty mind and as to the existence of God, but forgetting his character, forgetting what he has done, what he will do, forgetting all that they should have known. And that's what man does, because man chooses not to be observant. Choose to just kind of put blinders on like a horse going down a busy road. I just want to focus on what I want to focus on. I don't want to think about this and I don't want to think about that. Well, when you do that, you're not thankful for what God has done. You're not aware of what punishment could come in the future. In Psalm 107, we saw the fact that God is merciful, that people can turn back to him. What about all the times we look at the scriptures and we focus on the failures of people, that we also remember that they could repent, that they have a choice? Why aren't we thankful? You know, we live in a world that doesn't offer repentance very often. You go out on social media and say something that is offensive to somebody, and they will ruin your life. It's over. You'll lose your job, your worldly friends, whoever it is that thinks you were great yesterday, I can't believe you said that. Even if they don't understand it. You know, sometimes context matters. There are statements that people can make out of a greater context that can be misconstrued as terrible. But people don't even care about that now. How about being thankful that we have a God that judges fairly, that allows place for repentance? For example, in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, shall seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. The fact that God allows repentance, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive them. 1 John 1 and verse 9. This the world does not offer. The world doesn't get it. If we humble ourselves, if we come to God in repentance, James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners, and be purified your hearts, ye double-minded. In verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. These are things that we want to observe about God and not be forgetful about. In that psalm, the highlight of God's might in calming the seas after they've risen up to the heavens. When we look at the scriptures, we see the great things that God has done. And it puts this world in perspective. Exodus chapter 15, you know, when Israel comes up out of Egypt, they're praising Him. And then immediately turn and are upset and murmur against Him. Who is wise and will observe these things? Exodus 15, 11. Who is like thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? When I talked about Jeremiah 18, 15, they forgot the Lord. This can happen in an instant like it does in Exodus 15. You don't get days later. Months later, it's right away. They turn back on God. They forget that He delivered them. Well, to know the true and living God, you've got to remember and keep it in the forefront of your mind that there is none like Him. Psalm 86, 8 says, among the gods, there is none like Thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto Thy works. Three chapters later, Psalm 89, 6 through 8 says, for who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who is among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? To know who God is and what He has done so that we can remember who God is and what He will do. Psalms like this don't apply to us directly. We're not Israel. But they give us the historical lessons and the cautions. Who is wise and will observe these things? Well, the point is those that aren't observant are foolish. We have a hope. We spent our time in our class talking about Smyrna. And we were talking about how they were going through tribulations and they were in poverty. And we talked about the hope that they're going to have to focus on. But also that hope, just thinking about what is in front of you, isn't always the only motivator. But what you have to be thankful for. But if you're not observant, how thankful are you? If you don't consider what you have, we're getting a drink of water. Well, who gave us that water? Think about things that have happened recently in our area down on the border of New Mexico and Texas where their water was contaminated over and over again. I mean, you have people that on TV showing what that water looked like right out of the tap. The Rio Grande might be cleaner than what it looked like they were drinking. And public officials were saying, it's fine, drink it. I'm like, oh, that looks like nasty stuff. And This is what man is just not dependable. God rains the pure water from heaven, gives us these seasons, gives us all the abundance that we have. Man messes it up. But who do people decide they're going to trust in? The man that messes everything up. We want to depend on them. Why? Because people stop being observant. They stop thinking things through. I don't know about you, but if I were in flooded area and looking for hope, I wouldn't be thinking that the federal government's coming anytime soon. Unless it's for a photo op. I wouldn't be sitting there saying, oh, I know that FEMA is going to respond. I'd be trying to figure out how to get out of there myself. Now I come looking for my brothers and sisters in Christ. But I wouldn't be thinking the government's coming for you either. But what's man doing right now? Sitting on the top of a house waiting for the federal government to come. Thinking that they're going to deliver. After having, in this lifetime, how many examples of failure after failure after failure? It's a sad reality how unobservant people can be. Well, knowing the wonders of God, we think of the resurrection to come. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious of appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. To look for, to be in anticipation of, that requires us to be observant, to think about what God has done in the past. How when He said He was going to deliver, He delivered. How that when He said He was going to judge, He judged. How that when He made a promise, He kept it over and over and over again. It's called a lively hope. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's literally a living hope. It's not dead. It's not dead. If the greatest of men today promise us anything, even if they have been consistent, they're limited because they're man. Limited in that they can't control time and chance that happens to us all. Ecclesiastes 9:11. You call 911. I don't know what the response time currently is for 911, but you call 911 and they say, we're going to send you an ambulance. It will be there. If it's in my neighborhood, it should be there in like a minute or two because they're 0.4 miles from my house. So that ambulance comes busting out that firehouse on R.C. Poe. Well, let me tell you what happens a lot on R.C. Poe. People drive down R.C. Poe 80 miles an hour. That ambulance comes out, lights on and everything else, but this idiot's got his music up and he's jamming. He's about to hit the little turnabout that Harold hates and so do I. Those turnabouts that are popping up more and more all around town that people don't tend to navigate properly. Well, this guy runs right into that ambulance. The wait time just increased. It's not a couple of minutes anymore. It's not because the ambulance driver was neglectful. There's a bend there that you can't see around. It's not that they said, you know what, we just want this guy to die. It's not that they had some bad intentions. It's that man cannot control time and chance. And we're supposed to be observant of these things, understand these things. And yet, people crumble when man falls through. You ought to expect man to fall through. The greatest of men to fall through. They can only do so much. Think about even the New Testament. Paul says, I'm coming to Corinth. Not once. Not twice. Three times. Well, how's the man going to get out of prison? And they arrest him. How's he going to get out of prison? Well, how's he going to escape distress and peril? Even the Apostle Paul, working the wonders of God miraculously, still was subject to time and chance. And he was dependable and faithful, but could not overcome the limitations of the flesh. Our God is not limited. He's not going to fail in his promise. So later there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." We need to be observant. We need to recognize the pattern of God's behavior and have our faith in Him. Have our faith in His promises, anticipating that everything that is in the flesh is going to fail, but God will not. So I'm going to wrap up, because Hosea puts forth this question too. And this is, the more and more I thought about Psalm 107, the more and more I just didn't know how to break it up. Because it's a problem that will last until Jesus comes again. Hosea 14:9 says, "Who is wise, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and shall know them? For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressor shall fall therein." Thinking about who is wise and will understand these things. That's the problem. Well, we need to be the wise ones. We need to be the ones that observe, that understand, that want to continue to grow and know that our faith will be stronger in the Lord, but not geared towards man. Understanding the limitations of the world and the things of the flesh and pushing beyond anything to be able to overcome it. I want to draw your mind back to Smyrna, to what we're looking at, Revelation 2, 8 through 11. They're going to, when we get into verse 10 next week, be told to be faithful unto death. They're going to have to focus on the crown of life that is to come. And we talked about today, when we look at the parable of the sower, that the word of God can be squashed, for lack of better terms, by tribulation. And we talked about the importance of keeping our minds and our thoughts in the right direction, because it's not just as good as, you know, oh, go read the Bible. Go read the Bible. It's about being observant. If you're facing persecution, and the illustrations we use in the class, if that foreign nation comes and takes this country and says you're going to be a Muslim or whatever else, or else you're going to die. The focus on eternal life alone just might not be enough. You're going to have to remember the whole. What happened when God's people caved? God turned his back on them. What happens when they stood? Some of them died and went on to their reward. It's going to be thinking about Jesus in the face of adversity and how he went to the cross even though he struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it will be to know, I'm going to struggle in this moment, but I'm wise and I'm observant. I know that as I stand up, even though my knees might be shaking, my muscles might be tense, I might feel like I'm facing severe dehydration, I might shake a little, I'm going to know that I need to stand because I'm wise and I observe these things. Those that turn back, they turned away from God, they disappointed Him. I'm going to think about how it hurt God every time man turned his back. I'm going to think about not trotting underfoot my Savior Jesus Christ, the point in Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. Not crucifying Him afresh, the point in Hebrews 6, 6 and following. Because you're going to be wise and you observe these things. It's not going to just be, well, when I die, I have heaven to look forward to. It's going to be all the information that you'll have to focus on. And soon your mind will be absorbed in the things that will make you stand up even when you don't have the strength to do it. Because you're going to know that whatever they're threatening or promising is just of man. But what God has threatened and promised, He means it, and He's going to keep His word. I surrender the lesson to you to be wise and observe these things. Go ahead and turn our service over.